wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. Religion fails, but grace conquers. The lives of men whom God honored are worthy of our careful consideration, for in their experiences we can learn great lessons to help us to have power with God and with men. In the New Testament scriptures, Paul the Apostle of Jesus Christ had far more spiritual experiences than others. And in each one of these, his experiences were supreme. First, as a worker, he labored more abundantly than all others. He preached in the day and sometimes till midnight. He preached in the markets and the synagogues, while in the night he made tents to pay the bills of his gospel work and to care for his evangelistic team. What a worker! Second, as a sufferer, no man ever suffered as he did. Stephen might be stoned to death and James have his head cut off, but this man was stoned and left as dead and then revived to be lynched all over again and again. On his back, you could count 195 welts where the Roman lash had cut its grooves. He bore in his body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Third, as a prophet, God had never made so many nor so great revelations to any man. He was even caught up into the third heaven. To him was given the revelation of the church, of the conditions of these last days, and so much more it could scarcely be reckoned. Fourth, as a preacher, God so entrusted this man with the gospel's revelation that he called it my gospel. And he announced his true foundation, how that Christ died for our sins, he was buried, and he rose the third day according to the scriptures. He also announced its twofold terms, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Fifth, as a writer, all must acknowledge there is no greater book than the Holy Bible, and the greatest part of that book is the New Testament. This man was chosen by God to write two-fifths of the chapters of the New Testament. What a man of experience then was this man, Paul the Apostle of Jesus Christ. We shall now hear, as our beloved brother Paul tells us, the greatest experience of all his life, the one experience that made him what he was. Listen, my neighbor, listen. I count myself happy to speak to you all. I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even under strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus, at midday I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and then the journey with me. And when we were fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God. I would to God that all who hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am. Amen. Oh, how we need thousands of Pauls today. But even the suggestion of such is quickly downed by many voices saying, You don't expect me to be like Paul, do you? We shall see what God expects. Now that Paul has testified to his experience, we'll have the questions. First, what made Saul of Tarsus so mad against Christians that they traveled to distant cities to kill them? Saul's name was changed to Paul after his conversion. The Christians preached that Jesus was the only way to God, and that his blood was the only remedy for man's sin. This preaching of the cross infuriated the religious leaders, the priests and the rulers, for they tried to sell the people their religious rites and ceremonies as a means of peace with God. It is true that in all human history, the cruelest, the most inhumane deeds have been done in the name of religion. And people filled with religious zeal have become mad murderers, just like Saul of Tarsus. History shows it to be so. Whether it be a heathen religion or a Jew's religion, a Catholic religion or a Protestant religion, religion hates the gospel of God's grace, as it tries to set up man's works, and religion will lead people to stoop to every low-down means to hinder and boycott the gospel of Christ. Ask any evangelist who preaches Christ. I can tell you enough to fill a book, and so can others. Religion made Saul a brutal murderer, a blasphemer, and the chief of sinners. While he proudly displayed his self-righteousness, Paul himself wrote, "Ye have heard of my manner of life in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it and profited in the Jews' religion. But many my equals," there you are, religion. It was that made Saul so wicked in heart and in deed, while he appeared so pious outwardly. Religion will do the same for you, neighbor, or has it already done so? That is why we're not trying to get you to join some religion, but to come to Christ and be saved and changed by his grace. Not to be just another religious church member, but a real born-again Christian. Not another Saul, but a real Paul. Now let us call Paul back to the witness stand. Paul, to what do you attribute the great change in your life? Listen, "By the grace of God I am what I am. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." That is it. Paul was a living example of what he wrote. "But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." It is true that Saul traveled to other cities to kill Christians, but Paul journeyed to other nations and even continents to see perishing men saved as he preached to them the gospel of the grace of God. Grace did far exceed the dominion and activity of sin. Beware of religion. It's the devil's counterfeit. Its hypocrisy still deceives millions. It showed itself in that religious Jew, Saul of Tarsus, and its full picture is unveiled at Calvary, where the religious crowd, the priests and the elders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, were the ringleaders of those who brutally murdered God's holy Son, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Who would want religion after considering Calvary? And now for our second question. Who was that who called out of heaven to Saul on that Damascus road? Saul knew that Jehovah, the living God of Israel, dwelt in heaven, and so he answered, "Who art thou, Lord?" or "Jehovah? Who art thou, Jehovah?" But Saul was dumbfounded when that same Lord answered it, "I am Jesus." What? Jesus of Nazareth? Yes. That very same Jesus who was crucified, God had raised him from the dead. He was alive forevermore. He was their Jehovah. Neighbor, hear me good. Religion had made Saul so blind with rage, he was persecuting the very God he claimed to worship, and thousands are doing the same today. To this heavenly revelation, Saul instantly submitted, and in a complete surrender he cried, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Lord, what, Saul? Are you calling Jesus your Lord? Yes, and he meant it. For from that hour, Jesus of Nazareth was his Lord and Master, and he delighted in calling himself Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Paul, a bond slave of Jesus Christ. And now for the third question. Does everyone have to have Paul's experience to become a Christian? That's a fine question. My answer may surprise you. It is yes. That is what it takes. I do not mean that you must travel on that literal Damascus road, but going down that road that day was a defeated young man still kicking against the pricks and making his last struggle against conviction by God and by conscience. He was losing out. It was his last mile, his last ditch. And you too must come to the end of your rope and say down to Jesus Christ. Give the victory to the Lord Jesus, even as Paul did that day. You must have Paul's experience. I do not mean that you need to have a band of armed men by your side, but I do mean that God is not going to transfer you to heaven to become a Christian or put you on some island with angels serving you. No, but right here in this wicked world, surrounded by your old buddies, he calls upon you to take your stand on the Lord's side, confessing before men. You must have Paul's experience to become a Christian. I do not mean that you must wait for some bright heavenly light to shine before you, but what is that in your home? It is the Holy Bible. That Word of God wants to be the heavenly light to you, to lead you to the Lord Jesus Christ. First, it will show you that you are a lost sinner on the road to hellfire, and then it will show you Christ the way to heaven. Like Paul, may you not be disobedient to the heavenly revelation. And as you earnestly read that divine book, you will, like Paul, hear the voice of Jesus speaking to you, calling you out of your darkness to find him who is the light of light. And you must experience what Paul did to become a Christian. It is not enough for you to know that Christ died for our sins. You must confess the living Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord, L-O-R-D, and mean it. Surrendering to him completely like Paul did, saying, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Now, all of Paul's experience you must have, and all of his experience you can have right now. Fall on your knees right where you are and completely surrender to Jesus, the man in the glory, saying, Lord Jesus, my Savior, I will be thine. What wilt thou have me to do? Young folks, Christ wants to make a Paul out of you. And to this our beloved brother Paul would add, I would to God that all who hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am. That is what it takes, and that is the need today. We need real Christian men, women, and youth who live like Paul because they've had Paul's experience and they've surrendered all to Jesus Christ their Lord. Amen. Finally, let me ask, what is Jesus Christ of Nazareth to you? To some, he's a great teacher, a good man, a wonderful miracle worker. To others, he's a great benefactor and blesser of mankind, a wonderful example to encourage us to live better. He is indeed all of these. But if that is all Jesus Christ is to you, you are just another religious talker. You need Paul's experience. It is summed up in these precious words, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This is the testimony of every real Christian. The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This is truly a person-to-person experience. An intimate relationship established in deep love and adoration. I repeat that. This is truly a person-to-person experience. An intimate relationship established in deep love and adoration. Neighbor, I beg you, to get alone with God. In his presence there is neither the praise nor scorn of men to distract. And say slowly over and over again, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. As you do, cry to God to so reveal and so endear his blessed Son to you. And call on the Lord Jesus in words like these. Lord Jesus Christ, I want to know thee in this personal, intimate way as my own Lord and Savior. So I will love thee and in adoration worship and serve thee, just to know that we are one forever. My heart longs for it. My will is yielded to thee in complete surrender. surrender. I cling to thee in faith to now save me and change me as thou didst Paul, so that from my heart, as my personal testimony, I can truly say, Jesus Christ is the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman.